Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Listen to KMOX anytime, anywhere. Download the Radio.com app today.
I have a confession. I'm addicted to the news.
You know I'm totally off script right now.
Journalism is cool again, and you have endless content, let's be honest.
And this is how I got elected, by being off script.
Now, Mark Reardon.
I've seen people almost go to the bathroom in their pants in his presence.
On St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Well, good afternoon. Feels like summer in St. Louis again after we got quite a bit of a break last week. I was going to check that temperature out because it felt like the dew points were roaring back with a vengeance as we start the week. Yeah, it feels like temperature is just 108. Just 108 here this afternoon. The temperature on the gun is 95, but the dew point is 75. So we're off and running
so
here, Monday edition of the show. That's right. Thank you, Dave Klein. You know, that qualifies. It's the triple-digit heat indices soundbite from Will Ferrell there that we have to play when Steve's on. Mr. Klein, how are you? He sends me a text on Friday night. His kid's in the ER. Everything okay? Everything turn out with that? What happened?
So it was Friday night. I get home. We're getting ready to make some dinner, and the twins are in their room playing, and Will is following around my wife and me, and he's just walking around with an applesauce packet. And just out of nowhere, you know, he's 18 months old. He's trips over everything still. He trips over his own feet while holding the applesauce packet, and he busts his head open on the spout of the applesauce packet, Mark. Yeah.
You can't make that up.
No, you just can't.
You really can't make that up, right?
You think it would, you know, happen because of some sharp object or some really hard object, but an applesauce packet is what split his head open. And so he's down on the ground, and he's crying, and usually gets up, and it's no big deal, and he hugs mom, and everything's good. But this time, my wife picks him up, and there's just blood pouring out of his face.
Yeah.
And so at that point, I mean, my heart's racing. My wife's heart is racing. We're trying to stop the blood. We're using paper towels. We're using rags left and right. And for the split second, like, okay, it's stopping. That's fine. Everything's good. And then the second the blood stopped, it just started to pool out even more.
So really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it looked like just a constant dripping, not even dripping, just a constant just running blood.
Mm-hmm.
And so after about a minute or so, we realize this is not going well. And then my wife says, what do we do? I said, I've never really been in this situation before. I'm going to call 911 because you just don't know. You really don't want to take a chance with a kid.
Oh, I didn't know that. So you called 911.
I called 911. And by the time I got on the phone with them, they could tell it was an emergency, but not like, you know, an absolute dire need, if that makes mm-hmm. sense. So I got on the phone with the West County Emergency Department. And by the time I got on the phone with him, it was probably 2 minutes later, I said, well, the bleeding's actually stopped at this point, so I think we can just take him up to the hospital. Because we're 5 minutes from St. Clair Hospital.
Yeah, right.
And
as
so,
am I. Right.
So they said, well, you know, actually, there's a crew one street over from you guys. They can just come by, check him out, just to make sure things are okay, kind of let you guys know what to do. I said, oh, perfect, let's just do that. So next thing we know, a cop comes down the street. I'm like, okay, that's for us. Ambulance comes down the street. fire truck comes down the street, like the whole crew in our quiet neighborhood.
Wait a second. How could you not send me updated pictures of this? This is all news to me, Klein.
I know. Yeah. So they get there, and the Fenton police officer is the first one in the house. I'm sure she's just checking it out just to make sure nothing fishy's going on. And right away, she says, okay, what happened? So we tell her the story. The paramedics get there. All right, what happened? Fire truck gets there, and the firefighters are asking us, okay, what happened? So we're telling them the story.
Yeah.
And the whole time this is going on, my wife is talking to the paramedics and the firefighters, and I'm just kind of down by the fire truck and the ambulance with the twins just because they're going crazy. They love it. They think this is fun.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Right.
So a few minutes go by, and they say, you know what? We can take them to the hospital, but he's not going to like it because he's not going to be able to be with mom. So why don't you guys just kind of, you know, gather your thoughts and take him up to a hospital here in the next hour or so. So we did that. We take him up to St. Clair. We go to the ER. And I will say the great thing about having a baby or an infant or a young kid in the ER, you get first priority, Mark, because we checked in and within 2 minutes we were back in a room. Which was kind of nice.
Was there what? Here's what I'm curious about. I want to find out the end of the story. But when you check in, what do they say about COVID? Anything at first or not?
Well, we both got our temperature taken, and okay. I mean, right away, right when you get there. And the crazy thing is, I didn't really think about this, but they told us back in the room. You know, if this was a month ago or so, or 2 months ago, only one of you would be able to get back here with him, not both of you.
Oh,
yeah,
that's interesting.
So we talked to a doctor, and they said we can do glue. We can do stitches. The problem with the glue, though, is because it's in the shape of the spout, it's kind of like the circle shape, and he got about a nice little semicircle in the middle of his forehead. So they said, we can do glue, but the stitches are going to heal better. So we made the tough decision of doing stitches. Now, that was the hardest thing, was numbing your kid up for 45 minutes. And then once the numbing kicks in, the doctor says this can go one of two ways. This can go, this can take 5 minutes, or this can take a lot longer. So we had to hold them down in kind of like a toddler
tackle.
Yeah, kind of, really, like a toddler swaddle, really. So a few people were holding them down, and just to see your kid just crying uncontrollably for 5 minutes. I don't think because of the pain, because I don't think he could really feel the stitches, but just because he was being held down, that was tough to see. But
that would be hard. You know, I was looking at the picture for folks. It's amazing that created the wound that it did. It actually looks like a smiley face, like a big chunk cut out of his forehead in
exactly.
the shape of a smiley face, and it's pretty deep. So that's now. I wonder if the and I'm half joking about this, Dave, but you know, it doesn't take a whole lot for the FTC to get involved and to have a recall of a product. Who would have thought that this was like one of the, you said it was like applesauce. Was it like one of those squeezable?
Exactly. Yeah,
applesauces?
With the little circular spout at the top. Yeah, which you would think would just be absolutely harmless.
You would think wrong. Do I need to get Mark Cantor involved?
We could become like the equivalent of the people that put the caution hot beverage on the side of the McDonald's cup.
You could be that, Dave. That'll be interesting moving forward.
So,
all right, that's a good story.
All in all, everything
you
know,
turned
worked out well, and he got a popsicle afterwards. And I mean, the crazy thing is he went home and he's just crawling around and walking on stuff and just climbing on stuff like nothing ever happened, which freaks me out, but he's great.
Yeah, it's the first of many stitches to come, I'm guessing. Yeah, we had a good weekend. You know, the one thing I would say, and I'm not trying to minimize the difficulty of the pandemic and everything that everyone's going through, but looking back at this summer, I don't know how many other people can say this, there's probably four, five, six different things that we've done as a family, or my wife has done with Alexa, that we might not have done otherwise. An example, who knew, Dave, and I guess I should have known, little outfitter not too far from where we live in Eureka. I didn't even have to get on 44. Kind of took, Gravois down there to, what was it, PP, and they sent us on a little float trip on Saturday morning down the Merrimack. Was nine, you know, very real relaxed, nothing too technical as you might imagine with the 5-year-old, but she'd never been on a float trip. So my friend Dawn Kendrick was in town. She's a TV anchor reporter from Cleveland. She's from St. Louis, and she said, hey, let's go on this float trip. And here's what was great. So you've gone on float trips before, Dave, of course, right?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Have you ever done one with the kids yet?
No, I have not. The last time I did one was probably back in college, and that involved a lot of alcohol.
Yeah, okay. So in this case, this is more of a family type float, right? And it's not like there's a bunch of jello shots, and really there weren't very many people at all. You don't even see very many people. My friend Dawn invites her sister-in-law and her niece and nephew. They're like 13 and 9. And on my canoe, Dawn was in a kayak. In my canoe, I have Becky and me, so two adults with the five-year-old, and we're paddling. Everything's good. With her sister-in-law, it's the sister-in-law and two kids. All right, so kind of think that logistically through your mind, heading down a river for 9 miles when you have a 13-year-old and a 9-year-old who have no interest in paddling or doing anything that would steer the canoe. So basically, you're doing it for the whole 9 miles. My guess is sister-in-laws are not talking to one another on this Monday after that float trip on Saturday. But no, it was fun. It was really fun, and Alexa had fun, and hopefully everyone enjoyed the weather, because now we're back into summer weather. There is a lot to get to here this afternoon. I definitely want to talk about Chicago and the level of violence. I mean, some of the things that are happening in cities across the country right now, Portland, Chicago, New York City, even St. Louis, it's just horrifying, and it barely gets any news coverage. It hardly gets any news coverage. I mean, if you look at what happened on the Miracle Mile in Chicago, and Lori Lightfoot, the mayor of Chicago, finally wants to get involved and is outraged by the lawlessness. Are you kidding me? Some of us have seen this happening for months now and for weeks. And it's a tinderbox. It's going to get worse because there's no repercussions whatsoever. And the criminals know this. They had to. This is stunning. I don't know if you saw this. Dave, did you see this? They had to raise the drawbridge over the Chicago River just to keep the looters from getting to the stores. That seems to be maybe an indicator of level 3 or higher, you know, situation. That doesn't sound like it's just something that's going to go away with you know, a couple of days where people kind of trying to chill. And then you got Portland. No one wants to step in and do anything on that. So we'll talk about all those things. I have a bunch of audio I want to get to here this afternoon. We have Congresswoman Ann Wagner with us here in a couple of minutes. We'll talk baseball. Unfortunately, the Big Ten has canceled sports throughout the fall, so the writing's on the wall for the SEC and the other Power 5 conference schools. And I'm guessing, Mr. Klein, keep me posted in case I miss it. I'm guessing an announcement's going to come along, you know, this afternoon on that. And then you have the Cardinals and the COVID situation there. Right now, they're still scheduled to play, I guess, a doubleheader on Thursday. We have no Pirates series here this week, and we've still had a situation where we can't get enough negative tests where we can move forward and play baseball in St. Louis. So where this is all going to take us, I don't know, but Kevin Wheeler's going to join me a little later on that. We'll get some numbers from Dr. Garza this afternoon. Also, kind of recap an amazing PGA championship. Plus, as I mentioned, a bunch of audio as we get through the afternoon. 2:15, Ann Wagner, next on KMOX.
Miss any part of the Mark Reardon Show? Download the podcast anytime.
Initiating download. Stand by.
At KMOX.com/Reardon.
All right, welcome back. 2:20. Yeah, Kevin Wheeler is going to join us very latest on the Cardinals and the Big Ten and sports overall. We'll get hopefully a positive take. I mean, look, it doesn't look like Major League Baseball is ready to fold. I think a lot of us thought that was going to happen, but can you keep going down this track with the Cardinals not playing? I mean, they're at a certain point, you would think there has to be a call made, but maybe we can hold out another couple of days and get some baseball on Thursday. I have no idea what to believe. Honest to God, where are we right now? It's really difficult to tell, and I'm pretty busy just trying to figure out, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later, how I'm going to be a kindergarten teacher 2 weeks from today. Talk show host, kindergarten teacher. That's going to be an interesting balance. Congresswoman Ann Wagner is with me this afternoon. How are you, Ann? There's one thing that really you guys should pass a law. People like me shouldn't be teaching kids anything, especially how to read or write. That would be a terrible thing.
I got to tell you what, you know, it's tough enough. We're all working out of our homes, and especially if you got, you know, two parent households, but trying to figure out school learning and kids and food and laundry and keeping everybody safe and active. I mean, this is rough. My hat's off to you, man. And we gotta get moving forward soon.
Well, what's your take first and foremost about the executive actions from the weekend, and is this just a negotiating tactic? I mean, I guess the president tweeted out this morning that Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi want to make a deal now on a stimulus package. I think he was trying to press their buttons a little bit. There's some questions about the constitutionality of the executive actions, but what's your take there?
Well, we'll see. I mean, I took him fairly seriously when he laid this out over the weekend, and I don't like it when any president legislates with their pen and phone, those famous words of Barack Obama's. But, You know what people hate more? They hate Democrat obstructionists in Congress who've been playing this crazy game now for weeks and weeks and weeks, pushing this $3.5 trillion liberal wish list, much of which that has nothing to do with fighting coronavirus. So we've got to be serious about this. People, Mark, are hurting. And the Democrats are using this pandemic as a political football, to be perfectly honest, at the expense of American citizens. I think it's appalling. And we'll see. I mean, he can repurpose money that we have already appropriated. Remember, we passed on a bipartisan basis four other pieces of legislation dealing with the COVID pandemic, including the CARES Act, which was the biggest one of all. And there is money left in there for unemployment assistance to give this payroll tax cut, which, by the way, is much easier than handing out stimulus checks. This can be done immediately and directly, and it's for every employee out there making less than $100,000. Put a moratorium on evictions. Absolutely. We can't be turning people out on the streets. And then giving some flexibility on student loan repayments are very, very important. So they're not accruing interest, and they've got to the end of the year before they have to make another payment. So he's done a number of things here by repurposing existing funds. Whether it covers the full constitutional, you know, muster here, I guess we'll see. I'd hate to be the person that sues to take money away from people that are hurting because Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer just don't want to come to the table. But we'll see. I stand, Mark, we're on 24-hour call to head back to D.C. at a moment's notice to put something else together. Happy to do it.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the money, the unemployment money and the $600 a week. Because, look, I find myself in a situation where I hear people saying all the time that it's a better deal for people to take the unemployment and to not work. And quite honestly, that's probably the case in many situations. I've had employers tell me with their employees that they're probably in a better situation taking the unemployment. Now, that's different than, you know, making a comment about people and their willingness to work, because I think people want to work. One of the difficulties with the payroll tax is, look, I have many, many friends who are musicians. They're, you know, in the gig economy. They got nothing, and they got nothing for a while. So how would this particular plan affect those people? Because you have to have, and I'm not happy, and I'm sure we all know that in the end, and when we look at what happened with the CARES Act, there was probably billions and billions of dollars of fraud that'll be turned up. That was going to happen. But people needed this money, and they need it right now. So
that's right.
I don't know if there's a perfect way to distribute it, but, you know, you have both sides saying, look, this is unfair because of this reason or that reason. Both sides are making their points, but it's that compromise area that we seemingly have difficulty reaching in these situations.
Well, we've come together, as I said, on four packages, nearly $3 trillion, I can tell you, and we can't be paying people to remain on unemployment. And I think that this was a fair amount for those that really can't get reattached to their employer at this point in time. Those that are self-employed will have an opportunity to take advantage of their portion of the payroll tax cut also. So there is something there. Part of the problem with stimulus checks was it was easy for people that had filed their taxes electronically. It was much more difficult for folks that had more complicated situations or had done paper returns. We still have people in my office has been doing nothing but round the clock casework and constituent service work, helping people with their unemployment insurance benefits, with their stimulus checks, getting their small business loan. I mean, we still are doing that. And frankly, so many of the state and local governments are still sitting on millions and millions of dollars, including St. Louis County. Only about $40 million of the $174 million has been distributed. And we've got to get a lot of money out to our municipalities, out to our school districts. Some of that's beginning to happen now. But, you know, it should have happened weeks and weeks and months ago. But we ought to be able to come together and get this done. We can't be playing these games with people's lives, and they're scared. They feel they're worried about their own health and safety, that of their children, their own economic security. I mean, this is not a time to play politics and bet against the American people for political gain. And I want to see us get another package through. But if not, I think the president is on, I hope, solid ground to move forward.
Yeah.
Not the best way, not the way I'd like to do it, not the way it's been done over the last four packages, but we'll see if this brings them back to the table.
But you still see a scenario where you are called back to vote on a package, potentially.
You bet. I mean, we've got a number of things that we would like to get done in terms of liability reform, and this isn't just for businesses. This is for hospitals and for school districts and for a lot of folks, even, you know, state and local governments that are concerned. There are over 1,100 class action suits and growing of some of these bottom-feeding trial attorneys that are trying to make hay and make money off of this COVID crisis. So there are things like that that need to get done. More money for testing, more money for vaccines and therapeutics. I want to see my municipalities get their fair share, first of all, from the county executive in St. Louis County, and second of all, to help them to keep the public safety and health. What I'm not interested in doing is bailing out great big cities that have pension funds that have been a bust for decades and decades. We're not interested in that. We're interested in really helping out those who have COVID and coronavirus expenses and to make up some of the revenue shortfall there so that they can be on their feet and functioning in serving their constituencies.
I don't have enough time for this, but if you can do it in 60 seconds, something that we want to maybe look forward to in the future, at least talk a little bit about the telehealth bill that you've introduced.
Yes, I am so excited. Probably one of the more important things that has happened in terms of coronavirus is this whole concept of telehealth. And we have brought together about five different great pieces of legislation that are going to help seniors and our vets and so many with chronic conditions be able to deal with their doctors via telehealth to get the proper Medicare and reimbursements there that are necessary to get them taken care of so that they don't have to call upon a loved one to take off work. They can feel comfortable in the setting of their own home, making sure they're properly monitored. Telehealth, especially in the behavioral health area, is something that we are on the cutting edge of, and I'm really glad to see that growing. And in terms of the virtual schools and people that are going to be doing online learning, to the extent that we can increase our broadband and make sure that there's computer access for all and hotspots out there to make sure they can do the work they need to do. All of those things are very important. But my telehealth legislation is key and cutting edge, and we're excited to be introducing that here this week.
Yeah, you know, I think when all is said and done, we're going to realize, and this seems to be one of those things that is going to be expedited, needed to happen anyway before this pandemic. But how, you know, I think now the urgency is there, and maybe we'll propel that to, you know, final form a lot quicker than it would have been without a pandemic. So I guess to a certain extent, maybe we got to look at the positives there. Ann, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. We'll talk soon. All right. Congresswoman Ann Wagner with us this afternoon. The very latest on the Cardinals baseball and the cancellation of sports in the Big Ten. Kevin Wheeler is going to weigh in on all of that. We still have plenty to come here this afternoon.
News Radio 1120 KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
Well, there has been a pretty active campaign on Twitter, hashtag We Want to Play movement by some of the college football players. That one led by Trevor Lawrence, the Clemson quarterback, who's been very outspoken about playing and I think making some pretty good points. But all this is going to affect everything right now, and the Big Ten has already made a decision. The rest of the Power Five conferences, I think, probably about to make that decision. Kevin Wheeler's with me this afternoon. I want to talk baseball, but let's talk about the rest of the sports because that doesn't seem like it's going to happen, does it, Kevin?
You know, look, college football was always going to have a major mountain to climb here. I mean, number one, you've got schools, even within a conference. I mean, in the Big Ten alone, you've got Michigan, Illinois, Indiana, Maryland, New Jersey, right? You got all these different states, and everybody's got different rules that they have to play by. And then you got the numbers game. I mean, there are, what, probably 1,300 players in the Big Ten alone? And, you know, when you start multiplying that by all of the Power Fives, I mean, you're looking at 6,000 plus in the Power Five conference alone. Look at the problems we've had in baseball with much smaller numbers. I mean, the problem here, I think, is managing everything rather than whether or not anybody's going to get seriously sick. It's just trying to figure out how do you do this. Like, imagine what the Cardinals are going through, Mark. happening in week three of the Big Ten season to one or two of their programs. And, you know, that's, you know, I'm not saying you can't get through it. Believe me, I'm on the side of if there's a sensible way to do things, then let's do them. But, yeah, this is a difficult decision for all of these schools. And, you know, I know you've seen it, but our friend Dave Matter from the Post-Dispatch had a story today about a St. Louis kid, Brady Feeney, who has really been struggling with COVID and the after effects and now has heart problems. And he's a football player at Indiana. So, you know, don't discount the impact of that kind of story on the decision that they're making.
You know, and I, you know, when I see Trevor Lawrence and he tweets, look, people are just as much at risk, if not more, if we don't play. Players will all be sent home to their own communities where social distancing is highly unlikely. Mm-hmm. I think he's got a good point to that. I understand how the kids desperately want to play. I mean, this is their lives right now. I mean, if I was an 18, 19, 20 year old kid, especially someone like that, it's hard to mentally, well, look, it's hard for all of us to mentally say, okay, we're going to put that on hold for a little while. And basically my daughter's going to have a gap year of kindergarten. I mean, we're all operating under our own situations right now. But to your point, and now let's segue into baseball, because to a certain extent, I think you're right. How in the world, we've all been saying, how in the world is football, college football in particular, going to have success just given what's happening in baseball? But here's the other component. How is it that the St. Louis Cardinals are the only team in baseball that this is happening to? Now, I know the Marlins had their run, but isn't that kind of weird in and of itself?
Yeah, it tells us one of two things. Well, I mean, maybe one or two out of several things, but it tells us one thing. Maybe it's just not happened yet. Right. I mean, we are still less than 3 weeks into this season. So, you know, it's not like, you know, we're not a month in, and maybe there are future cases. I mean, I know the doomsday scenario would be somebody having this happen like days before the playoffs start. And then how do we proceed and how do we move forward? Like, we don't know that these will be the only two teams, but I would say there's a combination of bad luck involved and also maybe some evidence that when together, the guys weren't taking the distancing stuff seriously enough. In fact, Derek Jeter said that flat out about the Marlins. He's like, hey, our guys got complacent. You know, they were doing things they weren't supposed to do. The Cardinals say that they've been pretty dedicated, but clearly something, you know, whether it was an honest mistake or not, something went wrong where so many people were exposed. And I know it's impossible to avoid everything, but that's kind of the point that you're making, right? Is how is it only two teams so far? I don't know. That's a great question.
Because the lesson of the Cardinals tells me when another team does get it, it's not going to be limited in scope. Because and we've seen how infectious this is. This look, you can play this out at the nursing home level. One person gets it in the nursing home, 20 people die earlier in this thing, right? And everyone's – so what's happening with the virus with the Cardinals is actually a pattern that we've seen that's existed in many other aspects. But – the question then is, I guess everyone is just real lucky because they just don't have that super spreader or whatever that person might be. But, man, that's where you kind of get worried. You know, I can go in both directions here on making a case for continuing, making a case for being careful. I understand where college athletes are. But the reality of the situation right now is we are missing a bunch of games. The next home game is on August 20th for the Cardinals. We think they might be on the road later this week. Right. So let me ask this question. Let's start with this. Is there a scenario where Major League Baseball could potentially continue without the St. Louis Cardinals, where they just make a call on the Cardinals, or is that not even allowed within the protocol?
Well, as of right now, they're saying that's not what they're considering. I mean, the idea here is to let the Cardinals get back and then see how many they can make up, and then maybe they come up with a guideline later on where to make the playoffs, you have to play X number of games and we'll go by winning percentage. Because again, this is all, you know, Mark, based on whether or not other teams have problems too. As of right now, the only real scheduling problem moving forward is going to be the Cardinals, because they're going to have a really hard time getting to 60 games at this point. But I do think that the league would go on before they would cancel because of one team. I mean, there's just too much money on the line, Mark. If shutting down one team and continuing with the rest is the only option, they'll take that. They're not going to shut down the whole league because of one team. That would be a major problem for the television partners. Obviously, it's going to impact everybody else's paycheck too. So if everything else is able to go on, I expect it to go on.
And let me address that issue right there, because this is something that I keep hearing, and I would like your perspective, Kevin. There are a lot of people out there that are willing to make a judgment call right now and just say, look, the only reason they're playing or the only reason they want to play is because they're greedy. Well, maybe some people are greedy. Okay,
sure.
But these players aren't the only ones affected. In fact, there's a lot of people affected here. These teams are still playing their employees. There are broadcast crews. There are all kinds of people that are still benefiting from baseball, let alone the mental aspect of this and trying to give us some relief and entertainment. But I'm not particularly fond of the arguments about greed, because this isn't just about money. And college football, certainly, if you don't have college football, you don't have the rest of sports. So is that greedy, or is that saying all these other kids for years, potentially, kids that are 5, 6, 7, 10, 11, those kids may not have futures in their sports because of what we're experiencing right now. That's not really an overstatement.
No, it's not. And look, this idea that, you know, that people want to see sports canceled is nonsense. It's absolute nonsense, because we all know somebody that's going to lose a paycheck if something's shut down. You mentioned a bunch of it, Mark, and think of it at the college football level. How many people in athletic departments are furloughed or laid off or let go? How about all those college towns? I mean, how about Columbia and the revenue that would normally be coming in there over the next several months that just won't be there? And what's that going to lead to?
The restaurants,
for a college town?
The hotels.
Yeah,
everything is affected.
You know,
the convenience stores.
Yeah, it's like you said, it's not just about the greed of players or coaches. I mean, it is about a wide-ranging economy that touches a lot of people, whether it's baseball, college football, whatever. Those are many of the reasons why people are trying to make the effort. It's not just so that star baseball player A can make his, you know, $8 million in a third of a season.
So at this point, we're just going to have to hope we get through, you know, a couple more days with no positive tests. There's no other place to go. And if we keep getting positives, they're going to keep sacking the games.
Yep, that's it. I mean, we got to have, you know, have to have clean tests. You have guys, by the way, you have Cardinals that are already, according to, I think it was my buddy, our mutual friend Derek Gould mentioned that there are players already on their way back from the original testing. Like, yeah, they're beginning the protocol to return from their initial positive test. So, you know, we're getting to the point where, yes, the more they can have negative tests pop up, and the less that this is continuing to spread, the sooner they're going to be back. And heck, maybe even be back with some of the guys they originally lost.
And then when, all right, let's kind of keep it positive here, Kevin. Let's say that we get through this week, we can have a series, you know, on the road, and we start to reschedule games. There's no way to make up all these games.
No. I mean, you could barely do what they had to do before this week was canceled, right? I mean, they were supposed to be like 55 games in 51 days, and that's damn near too much to ask, especially when you look, one of the other side story to all of this year, Mark, has been all of the injuries that are happening in Major League Baseball. I mean, they've been nonstop daily, and it's way more than it is in a normal circumstance because of, you know, all of the weird return to play scheduling. I mean, it was just very fast, and you had to get up to speed quickly. The injuries are a problem there too. So, if you're going to try to play, you know, 60 or 50, what is it now, 55 more games in 45 days, there's no way. There's no way the Cardinals play 60.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's impossible. No matter how many seven-inning doubleheaders you want to play, there's no way to do it.
So my nephew, Patrick Botcher, who is in Minneapolis now, this kid's been harassing me since you and I worked together the first time. You know, he's a Cubs fan, texting me all this stuff. So, you know, he's not happy because the series got canceled, and he's blaming the Cardinals. And I said, look, here's the bad thing for you, dude. What's going to happen is they're going to get over this, and then they're going to come back, and their winning percentage eventually is going to still be better than the Cubs, and they'll make the playoffs because everybody makes the playoffs, and we'll end up going further than the Cubs. And that's really going to set the Cubbies off.
Wouldn't that be hilarious?
Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah, we wouldn't think it's so great the other way around, but yeah. It's funny.
No, this kid's in Minneapolis, but his family, my niece, his sister goes to school here. So my sister and her family was over at my house yesterday. Kevin, I think you're going to find that this was a appropriate, safe, wise, responsible call. I made them wear masks inside my house, not because of COVID, because they're Cubs fans.
Quiet them down a little bit?
Well, it's a little infectious too, and you think about it. You don't want to take any risks.
You don't want to catch the Cubby flu.
Nope, I got out of there without catching that virus in 1979. I'm not going back. All right, Wheeler, I hope we're going to talk real baseball here at the end of the week. We'll see what happens, but I appreciate coming on as always this afternoon.
Always, always good, buddy. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, 248, and we'll keep on top of it. No other news relating to the Cardinals this afternoon outside of they changed a game against the White Sox for the weekend, just the game time, but that had really nothing to do with the Cardinals. I think it was just a request on the part of the White Sox in Chicago. 248, coming back with more.
Listening to KMOX has never been easier.
Siri, play KMOX.
see here. I only have a couple of minutes before the top of the hour. Let's, Dave, let's listen to a little audio here when the host of CNN's Reliable Sources played a clip from a bunch of clips from conservative commentators attacking Joe Biden and his cognitive ability, so to speak. So he plays a soundbite. He's got a panel on his show on CNN. And this is one of those moments where if you were drinking coffee or, you know, I don't drink coffee, I drink Diet Coke, it would have come spitting. Is that the right word? You would have spat it out of your nose if you heard Brian Stelter say this.
Aaron, your view of this, you know, when you see entire media companies essentially exist to tear down Joe Biden, is there an equivalent to that on the left tearing down Trump?
There really isn't. And, you know, what I would say,
All right. Let's just, you don't need to hear the answer because that's just, think about it. Is there, when you see entire media companies essentially exist to tear down Joe Biden, is there an equivalent of that on the left? Let me take a stab at it. MSNBC, CNN, The New York Times, The Washington Post, The St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Vanity Fair, The Rolling Stone, and then, or Rolling Stone, not The Rolling Stone. So let's see, who was it here at Hot Air? Somebody, Ed Morrissey, took him to task and started saying, and, you know, those are networks, but even if we just point to some of the individual folks, Washington Post columnist Richard Cohen urged the incoming cabinet in January 2017 to state their openness to a constitutional coup on the basis of poor character. February 2017, Brianna Keeler, CNN, asked Jackie Speier if she believes Trump is incapacitated in response to Speier's declaration that the 25th Amendment should be invoked because Trump was unhinged. Don Lemon, August of 2017, declares Trump unhinged and then asks former DNI James Clapper whether Trump is unfit. And Clapper responds by suggesting Trump will nuke North Korea as an answer to the question. I mean, this just goes on and on and on, mainly from people on CNN and MSNBC where they do this. So Brian Stelter apparently doesn't have enough of a memory to recognize how hypocritical that question is when he asked it on CNN. I don't know. It was just, maybe he was going for a comedic moment and we just didn't realize it. We're out of time for this hour. We'll come back. I do have some things to say about the schools going all virtual and parents preparing for that. I have some audio that I want to share this afternoon as well. We'll also get into a nice visit with Selena Zito, who is our friend from Pennsylvania, who is all plugged into the electorate there, really called the Trump win in Pennsylvania 4 years ago accurately. Is it holding now, though? And we have Dan Reardon with a quick recap of an amazing PGA Championship audio cut of the day as well. That's all still to come. Carol has the top stories at the top of the hour on KMOX.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.